And it is time now for our Monday panel. First up on the agenda, the New Jersey bridge scandal. More subpoenas expected this week. New Jersey Democrats say that impeachment of Chris Christie is a possibility if evidence surfaces showing that he was directly involved in political retaliation by imposing that four-day shutdown of lanes on one of the busiest bridges in the world. Now, is it too soon to talk impeachment? Let's take it to our panel. Jolene Kent and Charles Payne are here to weigh in, along with Matt Welch, contributor on Fox Biz show The Independents. Thanks for being with us, guys. And Matt, let's start with you. The one thing I keep thinking of is we're talking 4 days of bad traffic in an area where traffic is bad all the time. Are we now a nation of drama queens?
We are, but it still reeks of political retaliation. It is abuse of power. Crassly so, not caring about what happened to the humans on the other end of it. So it can readily identify it as something what a politician was doing. Of course, we shouldn't be talking about impeachment. Of course, that's totally ridiculous. But it's a case of an entire political operation mobilizing to retaliate against someone for reasons that are unclear.
Although you got to say, you know what? It was silly, mean-spirited, bully. But then if Chris Christie keeps coming out and saying, I didn't do it, you do build the case for impeachment if, in fact, he did know and he didn't know and all this was driven by him.
Jolene, well, I think it's all about the style of governing, right? We're talking about retaliation. I think that's the key word here. And seeing how he might perform at the national level as a candidate or as a potential president. And if you're going to be putting yourself out there on the national stage, you're going to get this national scrutiny despite the fact that it came from a local source.
What do you think of the performance so far, though? Thumbs up or thumbs down on his performance?
Look at how people are rating his performance. His approval rating is still sitting at 65%. This, of course, before this incident has occurred. But hey, look, the governor got up there, answered 2 hours of questions, stared right into the camera, stared right into the interviewer's faces. What more can the guy do? He's fired people over
this. It's 3 months too late. We knew that this was a scandal in mid-September. We knew that it was a serious scandal a month and a half ago. He only waited until these emails were so embarrassing.
Wait a minute. He still fired more people than we fired
the IRS
scandal.
Totally true. But his constituents suffered for reasons that were obscure and challenged in mid-September.
Right.
He didn't mobilize himself.
Charles, I have a hard time believing that any smart politician would, if he were directly involved in this retaliation, would lie about it so explicitly, so repeatedly. What do you think?
Well, you know what? Here's a guy who's been charged with being a bully. The timing, it's a tough one. I mean, first of all, you would be embarrassed to say, I actually had this done. I actually ordered the George Washington Bridge shut down because a Democrat mayor from a smaller town in New Jersey wouldn't back me up. But to Sandra's point, I would say the press conference itself, we've heard of the charmed offensive. It was the charmed defensive. And I think so far it worked as long as nothing else comes out.
And now we're looking at Hurricane Sandy TV ad allegations and all kinds of different things. So there's a lot of evidence to be investigated. I agree we should give more time to see what actually plays out, but certainly a really bad time for him. And I think those approval ratings, they're going to dive.
Why are we so naive in thinking that political retaliation never happens anywhere? Don't we think that this kind of thing
I'm
happens
sure anyone's
all
assuming
the time?
That.
Shocked that anyone would retaliate against another New Jersey rival politician. And now the guy himself, the mayor that this supposedly happened to,
dumb
he acts
though.
Like he's
if
the
it
victim
happen,
when
it's,
his residents
if
were
if
the
it
victims.
Happened, it was dumb because the guy was going to win in a landslide. I could see if it was nip and tuck and, you know what, if I can just get a couple of votes in Fort Lee to get me over. It was a landslide. If he did it, it would be the ultimate sign of pettiness.
To Charles's point, it's hard to imagine a man in his position would take on such an enormous risk. Knowing that he was about to win.
All right, but the culture. We're going to move on to the next topic, guys. Neiman Marcus says it too has been the victim of a hack attack over the holidays, potentially exposing credit card data on 70 million customers. Now, a new report says many other well-known retailers hit by the same type of attack. They just aren't revealing it yet. Is this enough to start driving you guys to start using cash only? What do you say, Jolene?
No, definitely not. I think the real call here is to adopt European and Asian technologies that have been in place for a long time, where it's a smart card chip technology. Instead of swiping, you insert the card. There's a smart PIN that is registered for every single transaction.
And it
works very, very well.
Nobody's going to go back to cash. Nobody hangs on to cash anymore. Get in a taxi cab in any city in the United States now, and they're all credit card. People love their credit cards. They're addicted to their credit cards. People are getting used to the risks that they're taking when they expose this amount of information.
My worry about this, guys, is that we will see the feds or the states step in and start saying, we want all new kinds of requirements on the retailers because they're letting these, you know, every time there's a new hacker break, and we see state officials and federal officials investigate, not the hackers, they investigate the retailers.
Charles. But in this case, though, you know what? If the retailers and others don't move quickly, they're going to open them up themselves up.
So
a couple of weeks ago, Snapchat, someone told Snapchat, you've got some a white hat hacker, you know, in other words, friendly hacker, went to Snapchat, said, listen, you guys got problems. This thing is like Swiss cheese. They put it out there. Snapchat yawned. A couple of days later, someone told all the information, put it out there. They left the last two digits off the phone numbers to teach them a lesson. So if these retailers don't step up to the plate, then
listen,
maybe Congress
will. The government
will.
Doesn't exactly have a great track record with websites and
they don't know what they're doing. Well, are you kidding
either?
Me? They have a tremendous track record.
I'm going to lay it down now. We are moving back to cash. I just moved to an Italian neighborhood of Brooklyn two years ago.
Well, that's a different story.
And there's a cash tradition there, and I love it. No government can snoop on my transactions. There is no metadata.
By the way,
isn't this all about choice, though? It's the freedom to have the choice to use cash or to use a credit card, and then you assume the risks, and this is an opportunity for the companies to get in there and say, we're going to take care of our consumers and
give
them the best service.
Actually, Jolene makes a great point that a way to stave off federal regulatory preemptive action is for some retailers to come out and make it a sales proposition, a great point. Hey, our security is better than anyone else's.
Or a credit card company and say, we've got that EMV chip. Our card, your stuff will be safe.
One of the things the government may have on these retailers, though, is the fact that Target didn't come forward with this problem initially. They were tipped off by a blogger, right?
So
that's a little disconcerting.
And if you don't even know, you don't even know, and that's even more embarrassing. Okay, and next up, the Golden Globes. Getting a lot of buzz this morning, but there were tons of other shows competing for your attention last night as well. So what were you guys watching? What did you DVR? Start us off, Jolene.
I'm catching up on Downton Abbey. It's my favorite, but my DVR was working really hard. We're talking about football, 60 Minutes, The Good Wife, all of it.
Who DVRs live football? I think it's un-American, Charles.
Well, when it's between that and Downton Abbey is chilling.
Thank you, Charles.
I watched 60 Minutes. I mean, I watched the football game, some of 60 Minutes, and then I just worked for the rest of the night. So.
Come on.
But I would never watch. The last award show I watched was the Grammy Awards, 1977, when Stevie Wonder won like 8 awards.
All right, then you're not a
Golden Globes got the best ratings of 7 or 8 years last night. I was part of that, and it's for the same reason, because of Twitter.
You like
Twitter makes it fun, makes live appointment television fun, because you just sit there and snark Twitter feed.
I think the turn on the Globes have that the Oscars don't is seeing all these famous actors kind of drinking and eating and talking to each other instead of sitting in theater seats as they do at the Oscars, you know, and it's just kind of fun. It's kind of going to the zoo and watching the animals graze.
Oh, wow. I have to completely disagree. I just cannot stand the you know, kissing of each other's you-know-whats and propping each other up and thanking each other for everything that they've done in the past year. I was not watching that. I, too, am catching up on my Downton Abbey, and I was preparing to join Charles on Barney this morning.
Charles on Barney this morning.
Yes.
Well, do you guys think, though, the Globes are in danger of trying too hard, doing too many wacky things?
No. I mean, it had any kind of element of surprise there. I mean, for me, the drunkest and most interesting person was the person trying to use the bleep out lag terribly. Was at least 5 seconds.
And then Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and she whipped out her e-cigarette with her sunglasses on, and she was sitting with the film stars and not the TV stars.
And the controversy.
This was
a little surprised at how much onstage drinking was going on.
Yeah.
You know, Emma
came
out with martini and was actually sipping. You know, I think that the networks, they didn't even let a commercial for a beer show them actually drinking it, and here they are on live television quaffing away.
They don't even do it in movies. Bad News Bears was remade, and the kids drank near beer. It was a scandal.
Yes, exactly.
Big
all right.
Scandal.
All right, anyone got anything else on the Golden Globes that you want to bring up here?
No, I just found out what they were this morning, so I'm glad you guys are bringing me up to speed.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a great...
We'll give you the red carpet later, Charles.
There's supposed to be a great predictor.
Then I'll go, yeah.
There's supposed to be a great predictor of the Oscars, but no one film dominated. You had 8 different films sharing 11 separate major category awards. So I think the Oscars could be a real toss-up, although you got to think the politically correct 12 Years of a Slave, deep message, slavery is wrong. Could be the Oscar leader.
Yeah, I think that we're in for a big surprise. It's going to be really fun to watch.
So says the entertainment reporter.
Yes, and yet another award show you're going to be able to hate.
I'm a bit of a hater of the award shows, except for the Country Music Awards.
All right, nice job, guys. Thanks to our panel, Jolene Kent, Charles Payne, and Matt Welch.